Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we will begin in verse 22, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to focus on a couple verses, or at least one particular verse. The 32nd verse, I'm going to focus on that mostly, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God that we've just read. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing. Help challenge our hearts with your truth, we pray. And Lord, I just pray that everybody would desire to do your will. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when a person gets saved, we are admonished to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old life that we live, the old attitudes that we have, the old feelings, the old desires, those things. We're to put them off because that is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. You know, there's several things about be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans chapter 12. But we're to be renewed in the spirit of mind, and then we're to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it talks about how to do that. And in many cases, it is just simply doing the absolute opposite of what we did. He said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. In other words, instead of lying, speak the truth. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In other words, a lot of times our anger is our excuse for sin. Right? We get angry and that's, well, people say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, I was mad. I was angry. I was upset. And he says, be angry and sin not. There are things you shouldn't get angry about. But your anger is never an excuse for sin. How you feel is never an excuse for sin. And then he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Notice what he says. He says, if you're a thief, stop stealing, start working and giving to others. Just the opposite, isn't it? Then he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, instead of saying things that are ugly and unkind, say things that are good and decent and that are helpful, that can minister grace. And then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. All our time before, it was always a grief to the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says that Jesus said that when the Spirit came, he would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go unto my Father, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So there's always that battle between the Spirit of God and the spirit of men. And he says, now grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he says, let all bitterness, that's on the inside, and wrath, that's on the outside, and anger, that's on the inside, and clamor, and evil speaking, those are on the outside, be put away from you with all malice, which is on the inside, right? So we're seeing the outside and the inside and the results of what's inside. He said, put that away. Put those things away. And then he says, be ye kind. One to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, we used to sing with the kids a long time ago when they were little. We used to take this verse and we used to sing with them. And I don't even know how, if they remember it, I would hope they did, but we would sing, and be ye kind, one to another, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, Ephesians 5:32. We would sing that with the kids, and that would, you know, was something to teach them. It was a teaching tool, and I would love it if that just got stuck in your head. I remember one time we were listening to a preacher. I'm not going to mention the preacher's name because some people don't like him and some people get all upset about him and everything, so I'm not going to bother that. But he was preaching a message out of the book of Proverbs. And he began to just sing the words to the song and everything. And it was kind of funny. You woke up in the morning and it was kind of ringing in your head. It was there, you know. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Yeah, I still remember exactly how he sang it. And he was preaching out of Proverbs. And he was preaching on, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he was preaching about that. And I remember listening to him preach that. And I remember that to this day, I remember that little ditty he sang where he took the scripture and made that little song out of it. And it would be good for us to remember this one. It would be good for us to remember this one. And what is the first thing it says? Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Right? Be kind. Be kind. Did you know that you can do everything in a kind manner? Did you know that you can be kind regardless of what happens? Now, if you're lost, you're not going to be kind. So that's the number one thing. This is written to Christians. This is written to people that are born again. So if you're not saved, well, then you're going to have a problem with this. If you don't have a real live relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus, you're going to have a problem with it. But he says, be ye kind. And for some of us, that may be harder than others because some of us have a more kinder nature, naturally. There's that. And then there are some of us who might have been a little more gruff and everything like that. But this is within the realm of every believer. It's a command. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. You be kind. Now, it would do you good to figure out what kindness is. And it doesn't say, I will say this, it does not say, be kind when people are kind to you. It says, be ye kind. And we all understand what kind is. Is it kind to be ugly to somebody just because you feel bad? Nope. Is it kind to say ugly things about somebody behind their back? Nope. Is it kind to say ugly things to somebody to their face? No. Is it kind? To imagine evil about somebody. How many times do we see somebody and we assume we know everything about them and we make the mind up that somehow something's wrong with them and we assume some evil about them and we don't even know if it's true? Is that kind? Be kind one to another. And that's the second part of that. Who are we to be kind to? One to another. To other people. Kindness is not meant to be an abstract concept. It's meant to be a practice. It is meant to be a practice. Kindness is meant to be a practice. It is to be something that is done. Something that is accomplished. Not something that is just done as a abstract exercise of thinking. While it's good for you to think on it, thinking about it is only the first step. Because the reality, just as we went down our list of things that we talked about that we should put off and we should put on, you notice that when it talked about those things, when it talked about that, you notice that it talked about, for example, we'll go back to the previous verse, verse 32, let all bitterness, that's inside, right? And wrath, that's outside, right? And anger, that's inside. And clamor and evil speaking, that's outside, be put away from you with all malice. Malice is inside. So likewise, just as the bad things come out from the heart of man and they are manifest by behavior, so likewise kindness is meant, yes indeed, to start on the inside. There's a submission to the will of God and a desire to do right, but it has to come out, doesn't it? It has to come out. So he says, be ye kind one to another. And then he says, tender-hearted. 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 That means, we all know what a tender heart means. It means a heart that's easy to have compassion. A heart that's easy to repentance. A heart that is pliable, if you will, to do the will of God. For God to be able to work on a heart, to be tender-hearted. You know, if you get a piece of meat, you can tell the difference between a tough piece of meat and a tender piece of meat, can't you? All right, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? And if you get a butcher who understands what he's doing, I'm just using this as an example, you get somebody who understands what he's doing. He knows what cuts of meat are more tender and which cuts of meat are tougher. Yeah, I've butchered a lot of animals and I can tell you what pieces of meat are tender generally and what pieces are tough. But you get somebody like that. But if you get somebody who really knows what they're doing when it comes to being something tender or tough, you get somebody that understands what to do it. He not only knows how or what is tough and what is tender, but he knows how to make the tough tender. And so we're to be tender-hearted. But for us to be tender-hearted, we can't just rely upon ourselves, because we've already proven that we're tough and we're not good judges of what's tender-hearted. So we have to go to God. We have to trust Him, and we have to yield to Him, and not only yield to Him about what is kindness and what is tender-heartedness, but we also have to allow Him to, if necessary, make us tender-hearted. Because he's the expert. We can't just say, well, this is what I think tender-hearted means. We have to get a biblical definition, don't we? So it'd be a good study to go back and see what the Bible says about having a tender heart versus a hard heart. A tender heart versus a stony heart. That'd be a good Bible study right there. That'd be something that would bring benefits. But he does give us some understanding of this, and he gives us some clarity on this in the verse that we have. He said, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, and here he goes, forgiving one another. And therein is the very first step of a tender heart, and that is a heart being willing to forgive. A heart being willing to overlook people's offenses. Just like God has overlooked our offenses. Amen. In Christ. That He paid the penalty for those sins. And He does not deal with us after our iniquities. Amen. Does He? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you understand the kindness of God, the forgiveness of God. But God commendeth His love toward us, what? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the starting point of that. To be kind, if you're going to hold a grudge, if you're going to refuse to forgive, your heart's going to be hard. It's not going to be tender-hearted. If you have a difficulty forgiving people, it is because your heart is hard. And it just makes it harder, doesn't it? Remember what Jesus said, if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. There's a consequence to unforgiveness, isn't there? And so when we talk about being kind, it starts with recognizing how you've been forgiven. So when we say, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God forgave us, if you're saved, if you trusted Christ your Savior, God forgave you for Christ's sake. God the Father, God forgave you because Christ died and paid the penalty for your sins. So that when you called upon the Lord and put your faith and trust in Christ, God forgave you, not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. Amen. And you know what? If you're going to truly forgive people, you're going to have to do it not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. You're going to have to get yourself out of the picture. That's why he says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Your sins go out of the picture, don't they? And we see the blood of Jesus. Right? Amen. And God forgives you. And likewise, for us to be able to be kind and tender-hearted and to be forgiving, we're going to have to stop looking at other people's sins and looking at the real or even perceived injury to ourselves and looking at our so-called rights. And we're going to have to say, Jesus forgave me. And so for His sake, I forgive you. Isn't it amazing when we look at what the Bible tells us to do? It's pretty amazing to see what God expects of us. And you know, sad thing is we don't expect it of ourselves, because so often in our mindset, we put it beyond our ability. But God doesn't command something that's impossible. God doesn't command something that's impossible. Everyone in this room has enough grievances against other people to become bitter, to remain angry. But nobody in this room has as much reason to be angry or bitter or insulted or incensed than God has against you and against me. I mean, I could sit there and I could give you a long list of things that people have done to me. I've had family members treat me extremely ill. I had a mother who was supposed to love me, and she just said, I'm gone. And never heard from her again. That happens to children. I see it happen to children all the time. Parents just abandoning them, leaving them. And I understand how they feel. And you've got things that people have done to you and said to you. And you know, the sad thing about it is so many people, they grab onto those things and they hold them through their whole life. And Christ came to set us free from all that. And maybe this is sometimes the thing that causes us to fail, is because we hold on to things that we ought to let go of. We hold on to the old man, like it says in verse 22, he said, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created in righteousness, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put it away. Put off the old. Put on the new. You know, one of the most amazing situations I ever had when I was in the Navy was being in, and I've told this story before, but I just thought about it as I was talking about it. I wish we would do this spiritually. But I was in Italy. I was in Naples, Italy on New Year's Eve. And I had shore patrol, and I was walking around, you know, and we had all this type of stuff, and there was only one bar that was open in Naples. And everybody wanted to be in, and I had to be there, and we had to manage the crowd. We could only let somebody in when somebody came out. And boy, there were fights, and people were upset, people were getting all liquored up and everything like that. There was a carrier and about five other ships that were in port there in Naples during that time. And so we were there, And boy, it was getting right before midnight, and somebody come up and said, "Hey," said Sanders. He said, "I'm here. I'm your relief. I'll take it from here. You can head on back to the ship. Your watch is done." I was like, "Whew! Praise the Lord!" And so I was walking back to the ship, and I was probably, I would say, at least 2 miles away from the docks at that point, to where they had me posted. And I was walking back to the ship, and I'm walking through Naples, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear all the hubbub and everything about New Year's, when it's New Year's and people are popping off firecrackers and everything like that. Well, all the stuff, I'm walking down the street and walking through this area, and stuff just comes raining out of the buildings ahead of me and just falling. Yeah, it was kind of amazing. I was walking down the street and I noticed there wasn't anybody out there. I found out why. Because tables were coming out. TVs were coming out. Refrigerators were coming out. Lamps and stuff. Stuff was just falling. And I sat there and I said, "Man," I said, I found me a place where I was sheltered. And I just sat there and just watched stuff raining out of the buildings. Because they have a tradition there. Out with the old and in with the new. When they go out on New Year's Day, if they're going to decide to make, if they will see anything they want to get rid of, boy, out the window it goes. And so I'm sitting there walking along, minding my own business, happy, and all of a sudden stuff just starts raining out. And I got hit by a few things. Thankfully, it wasn't a TV or a refrigerator. But so I had to jump up underneath there, and I had to hide until all that stopped. And then as I walked back, I walked walking around stuff that was all over. It was broken glass. It was everything. And the amazing thing is by the next day, they had it cleaned. I mean, they came in, boom, boom, boom. First thing in the morning, they came in and started cleaning. And they had it cleaned out. But it was just an amazing thing. And I started telling people, and they said, "Oh, that's their tradition. They out with the old and in with the new. If they get a new TV, they throw the old one out the window and let the city come get it and everything like that. That's just the way they do things." And it was crazy. Boy, I wish we'd do that spiritually. Instead of trying to hold on to all the old stuff, all the years that before we got saved, why don't we just chuck it out the window? Amen. Put it off. And put on the new man. Part of doing that is, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the Sunday school time. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. Again, Father, thank you for those who have given their very lives to give us to secure for us the liberty that we have today as we look forward to Memorial Day tomorrow. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would help us to remember that in Christ we are indeed free. Our liberty, our freedom has been purchased with the blood of your only begotten Son. So Father, help us to put off that which is old. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Help us to be kind one to another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as you for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Father, help us, we pray, to that end. Bless your people with understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.